You are listening to the Transformation Table, where we talk about God's business.
Good morning, everybody, on the Zoom meeting this morning. Great to see everybody bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And we also want to welcome the people that's going to join in later, listen to the YouTube, the podcast, and wherever this discussion goes. Welcome to the Transformation Table. What a special place to be. Every morning, every Thursday morning, there's a certain amount of anticipation, excitement, and a little bit of, if I may be so naughty to say, a little bit of fear. You know, my wish, my prayer every Thursday morning is, please God, don't let us do this alone. You know, don't leave us alone to do this. If you're not here, we are in. We are sitting around a table wasting each other's time, but with you, yeah, it's a different ball game. So yes, welcome very much. I wonder if we shouldn't start off with prayer. Alida, can I put you on the spot? Would you open with some prayer for us this morning, please?
Father God, we come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are thankful to be in your presence. We are thankful to be together. Before we go out into our different workplaces, Father, we bring this morning before you and we ask that you will bless us with your spirit in abundance of wisdom and knowledge and revelation. We thank you, Lord, that we are safe in your hand, that fear has no place in our hearts, and we can commit everything that we do to you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Alida. Such a valuable little piece there that we don't fear. The only fear is that we don't have God. Yeah. That there is, otherwise, there's no fear. So, yes. So if you guys remember last week, we're still talking about the workplace. You know, we were on an interesting journey at the moment. And, we decided this last week, Thursday, that the topic of discussion this morning was fear in the workplace. And, when I was praying about it I think it was yesterday morning, the verse that I picked up, and this is a strange verse for this topic, so I wonder where this is going to take us, but is Matthew 5, verse 9, and I'm reading again out of the only English Bible I've got in the house, which is my wife's Bible. It's a New Living Translation. Let me just make sure. New Living Translation, Matthew 5, verse 9. And it's actually such a beautiful, this whole Matthew 5 is actually a beautiful part of the Bible. But 5, verse 9 says, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. Now, there's a couple of versions of this verse. But this is the verse I got. So, and I could see that Peter quickly made a comment when I put it out there that it is the peace. Peter, just help me there. It's the peacemakers, not the peacekeepers.
Not peacekeepers, yeah.
Yes. Let's quickly read it in. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God.
Yeah. That's yes. ESV. English Standard Version.
Very great. So yes, I'm not sure why this is the correct verse for our discussion this morning. You know, because if you guys remember, we left off last week where we stated that it could be a scary thing for a newcomer to the workplace, and the fear of the workplace, and I see it. You know, when we have a lot of new people starting there all of the time, we are always it's a sort of a through road through the factory. We're always letting people in. You know, we like pulling people in that's got no experience. I mean, the point is, how are you going to get experience? And I'm sure you guys in your workplaces sees very much the same thing. And Sadie said it so well a couple of weeks ago, where she said, 30 years ago, the youth got told, don't worry, don't learn anything, don't do anything. The government will look after you. And that's exactly what they did, you know. And then we did something, another thing that was very a poor decision. We chased away is a strong word, but we chased away a lot of the older people that had the experience. So now we're finding ourselves in a vacuum, in our industry at least, where there is very old, you know, people that should be well retired, that are still playing an active role, and a big gap, and then some new people coming in to learn in a hurry, you know, or to be taught in a hurry. And that concerns me deeply, you know? Because if we want to solve the unemployment rate, we need to teach people quickly. And there is a certain amount of hurt that takes place in teaching somebody quickly. You know, the guys of you that are teachers know there's a certain pace at what people should be taught. And if you put it under too much pressure, you hurt that person. And that's certainly never the idea. You want to teach somebody because you want to help them better themselves, certainly not hurt them. And you know, if you put it out too much under pressure and you learn too fast, often what could be the result is that person that you are teaching thinks they're not adequate. They think that they're not able. They think they're not clever enough. And that fear of not being able to do the work is the fear that I think we're talking about here. You know, the fear of not being enough. Yeah. And that is, of course, Peter, one of the Rottweilers that walk with the enemy is fear of not being enough. We've discussed it in many different ways. But, you know, if you let that Rottweiler have a bite at you, he's going to eat all of you, you know. So, you know, and while we were waiting for the program to come on, I saw this little piece of, you know, Matthew 5 verse 22. And it says, but I say, and this is Jesus speaking, but I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subjected to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. You know? And the last thing you want is that somebody feels like an idiot. And you might even, the teacher might say, why are you not getting this? Are you an idiot? Yeah. And that is the last thing we want for the people that we are teaching. But sometimes the pressure is on and you feel you have to rush that process. And that's where you do a lot of damage and there can be a lot of fear. I mean, I would like to hear from the guys on our Zoom meeting, the people on the Zoom meeting that are teaching youngsters, you know, who are involved in teaching. And I would venture a guess that there's a lot of people out of our 10 people on the group that is actively in a teaching position. So, you know, if you've got something to contribute about that part, I would love you to put your hand up. Because I mean, Freek, you're working with the youth in the what do they call the youth center? What do they call that? Is it called prison, or is there a different name for it when it's the youth?
No, it's normally called the juvenile center.
Juvenile center. And you work with these guys and you understand that they have got I would imagine that there's a lot of them that is got a disadvantage. You know, they are a little bit behind on somebody did not spend some time with them, coaching them into what the will of God for them is. You know, because that's what we're trying to achieve. We're trying to achieve as teachers to bring these guys to the will of God. And I'm talking about, you know, all the youngsters. I just want to quickly freak before you start. Peter, how's your battery looking? Are you still okay? Because I want to ask you a question later and I don't want to lose you.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Okay,
cool. So far, so good.
Okay. So, Freek, do you agree with me that, when there's a little bit of a backlog, to catch up, and I'm putting you on a spot here, Freek, the fact that we have to accelerate the teaching sometimes can be get a little bit hectic.
Yeah, it's true. Strangely, I was listening to a podcast on my way yesterday to the center, the juvenile center. What we do now is we go and pre-record them for their program is actually now on in the prison in the morning. And I was listening to a podcast regarding self-doubt and a thing that came out strong for me was this fear of failure, our biggest enemy. It's fear, and the fear to fail. I'm going to fail what you expect from me as a boss or as a worker, as your employer. I saw it yesterday with the young guys. I said to them at the end of the recordings, I said to them, you know what, I want to share something with you. If I sit at home and I edit the recordings and I put the program together, I look into your faces the whole time on my screen. And I said to them, I just want to tell you something, all of you. And I said to them, I'm happily married. I'm a man. I love my wife. I said to them, I'm not homosexual. I'm not gay. But I said to them in Afrikaans, Jelle is mooi. You are beautiful. Seeing them through the eyes of God, and you see not long teeth, long nails. They're not monsters. Yeah, they made a mistake. I believe there's a lot of us sitting around this table, especially the one speaking now, that can tell you the only difference between me and them, especially at that age, they got caught, and at the grace of God. And while we're busy recording, some of them are just natural public speakers. That's one of the biggest fears for people is to speak in public. You know, they say about when it comes to trauma, it's divorce, obviously death. When there's death in the family, a divorce, actually moving from one place to another place, very traumatic for children. And then public speaking. Now you sit with these young guys with a camera and you record them and you tell them one of these days it's going to go to the outside, your family, everybody out there, and you can hear while the others in the cells are watching them on the TVs, there is some of them are making fun of them. And I said to them, listen, most of that criticism that comes your way, use it to the positive. But a lot of it is jealousy. They would love to be on that platform, but you have overcome the fear to be on that platform because it is so. If you sit in front of a camera, even my wife, she doesn't want to be in front of the camera. She wants to be behind the camera. And you see this fear of failure. And that's a thing in the workplace that we get all over, even in our personal households. If the fear that wants to get to me sometimes and say, you have failed your children, or you have failed your wife, or you have failed society, especially going to a prison and you must hear, you need to be removed from the society because you have failed the society. And then getting to that person inside of a prison so young, I said to Demeter yesterday, they still have 20, 30 years on us that they can change their lives and have a new vision for life. But you see that fear the whole time. We had a youngster there yesterday. He loves music. And he just had to introduce the next song for us. What we sat there for almost half an hour just for him to put that short sentence together. And because he couldn't believe in himself. He was it was like, he loves music and he's got such a passion for music. Just to say to somebody, thank you for your testimony. I am so-and-so. This is my program. And we're going to listen now to this song sang by this group. And it was at one stage, I can't do this. And you can see the fear that is crippling him. People are laughing at me. And luckily, Dimitri was just on him the whole time. You're going to get this. You're going to get this. And eventually overcame that fear. You know, the name of our ministry, het hy vrees baas geraak. He overcame that fear. He became the master of that fear because it was in his eyes. You could see it in his face. I'm going to fail you. I'm not going to be able to do this. And that's the lie of the enemy, because God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. He gives us a spirit of a sound mind, power and love. And we saw the victory in his life yesterday, overcoming that fear, and especially the overcoming the fear of failure. Thanks, Mendo.
Sure. Yeah, those words, you can do it. You can do it. You know, it's something that possibly comes
out of my mouth. You can do it.
Say again.
Yeah, I want to just backtrack a little. You were talking about having to teach under pressure to learn quickly. And with me working with the youngsters that I work with, who are all from pretty bad backgrounds, I have had to adapt my teaching. And if you look at how a computer works, you have a menu button, one button that you click, and then it scrolls down with various options. And you pick one of those, and that opens up to various other. And so you go on clicking bit by bit. And I've had to adapt. Now, we don't have time to give them the whole scroll down article. So it's like fishing. I put out the bait. Because mentoring, to me, part of mentoring is to help those young people not only find out what they've called to be, but also find out what they're not called to be. You see, like in a church now, everybody wants to preach from the pulpit, but not everybody is called to preach from the pulpit. And so that is a big challenge. That's how I wanted to respond to you. By adapting my teaching method so that it's like a general store. You put the stuff on the shelves and then they basically take what they need. They take what they want, baked beans and pop and so on. And so that's how I've adjusted to that. And it works because none of them, those that rise to the occasion, them you walk a closer road with. And so, and it's different guys on different roads. Yeah, I wanted to say one thing. When you started, you said that there's a certain amount of fear before you begin a meeting like this. And I want to be the Engelsman here and say, no, the word you're looking for is probably apprehension. And apprehension is not fear. We don't want to submit to fear. We don't mention it. It's like divorce. You don't even mention that word in your house. And so apprehension, I'm apprehensive. I'm standing outside my new workplace and I'm going to go in for an interview. I'm not fearful. I'm nervous. I'm excited. I want things to work right, and there's butterflies in my tummy, and that is apprehension. We'll have to go and look for the Afrikaans word for that. But thanks, Guy.
Yeah, I think, Peter, you're absolutely right. The apprehension is the right word, but the feeling inside the tummy is exactly the same as fear. You know, there's and I think that's where the connection is. You know, that you're out of your comfort zone. you are in a spot where you're a little bit concerned that this is going to, you know, is the Holy Spirit
walk on the water? Walk on the water.
Exactly. And that's the thing of tackling a new job or working at a new company. You know, there's a moment where you realize there's apprehension. You know, you're going to have to walk on the water a little bit. You're going to have a little bit of faith. You know, and that's the beauty of mentorship. You know, it's two-sided apprehension. The one is, because you know, Freek, I think that thing that you mentioned about the you look beautiful to me is your anticipation. You hope that these guys are going to wake up and rise to the occasion, you know, and it is that what you see in their faces. They're not models. They're not got facial features that make them look more beautiful than, you know, they're not Hollywood stars. The anticipation, that bright, that light that comes out of them is the beauty that you see. And you're hoping that they're going to rise to the occasion.
Yeah.
The return or the other side of that is that they see the same thing in you and they don't want to disappoint you. Mm. Yeah. And that is something that has to be managed very carefully. You know, because there's one thing we read now about calling somebody idiot. You don't have to say, hey, you're an idiot. That's not calling somebody an idiot. It's the look on your face of disappointment. Is the same. There's no difference between the two. You know, and that, I think my face expresses those things very easily. So, you know, I need to control that better. But, and I think that's where we talk, where we're going now. The peacemaker part comes into this, you know, because the peacemaking, and Peter, I want you to quickly, because you made that little comment of peacemaker and peacekeeper, if you could just explain that to us and then we'll take it from there. You don't mind.
Well, I'll give you a practical example. My dad had a terrible temper. And as long as I can remember, my mom would say to us, just hang on, just don't worry, he'll go to sleep just now. And for 20-something years, that's what she did. Instead of tackling the oak and saying, listen, that is nie aanvaarbaar. You see, and so sometimes you have to attack Iraq to make peace. And so confrontation is not always bad. I'm overweight. I confront my overweight. And I sign up at the gym. That's good, healthy confrontation. But the problem is, if you don't believe in yourself, then you cannot confront anything because you don't have the identity strength to be able to say, I am who I am. I'm entitled to my place in the sun. I have my voice back. You see, mismanagement or abuse of people growing up, like what we've had for 30 years, robs them of their voice. They no longer have an opinion. They have nothing to say, so they shut up. Or they think they have nothing to say. And so the challenge of mentorship is to give them back their voice and say, no, you're entitled to your opinion, even if you disagree with me. And secondly, even if you're wrong, you're entitled to be wrong. You're entitled. And that's the entitlement that we're looking for in the country. Not the devil's counterfeit entitlement, which is just be quiet, lie back and think of Mother England or whatever, you know. You can't just accept anything and everything. And so that's a piece. You've got to confront that. And I've got to, you and I, and we have to confront those that we are going to teach. We've got to confront that in them and then get to confront that in them. And with any counseling situation, the ideal is that the person themselves comes up with the answer. We don't give them the answers, you know. And so Anthony's put a fair comment on that, that it's about your identity of self. If you don't love yourself,
yes,
you can never love anybody else.
Yes.
I hope that answers your question.
For sure. Yeah, yeah. It's a active, it's not a passive, it's an active role to be played.
It's active.
And yep.
Get out of the boat. Get out of the boat.
And take the risk. Take the risk. And then this conversation. This dialogue, you know, it's very difficult for me to teach someone that sits there and be quiet. I need to hear his thought process. Mm. And it's important for me to understand his thought process so that I can guide him through. And you've said a very valuable thing a few times, and that is, it's not taught, it's caught.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to catch it. You have to get it. And if you don't get it, I cannot teach it to you. You know, it's not something that I can say, write this down and do it like this. You have to, you know, we give work instructions in our factory. But there's a lot of the guys that do not need the work instructions anymore. They know what they have to do. They caught it. But some guys, I have to write down every day, this is what you've got to do. You know, and then there's guys that I don't speak to for a week or two. They do their thing. It's done. You know, we walk past each other in the morning, say, morning, Sam. Morning, boss. And that's it. That's a conversation for the day. I don't have to say, do this. He gets on with it. You know, if I have to give him a job description, I don't know how to do that because he just does what he needs to do and it gets done. And I don't have to ask him. You know, that is a good place to be. You know, he is now an active peacekeeper because he's doing what he needs to do to make sure there's peace in our surroundings.
The peacemaker.
He's a peacemaker.
Peacekeeper doesn't confront anything.
No. He's a lame duck.
Peacemaker confronts. He's angry at the right time for the right reasons. And he's not angry at the right time for the right reasons.
But
he can get angry, yes. Like Jesus in the temple. You know, you often speak of that righteous anger. I just wanted to add one last thing, is that Freek spoke about not wanting to disappoint or not wanting to see that look on your face. And one of the things that those we are teaching struggle with, one of the things they fear, if we must use that word, is losing popularity. Losing Ansin. They don't want to lose, you know, they're very fearful of what others might say because they're not strong enough to say, well, say what you like, I can deal with it. That is a huge difference. If you, a peacemaker, will say, say your say, man, I can handle it. We can agree to disagree. A peacekeeper will never do that.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Can you add your hand up?
Yeah, Meza, good morning, Doc. I wanted to say that, you know, your message this morning, blessed are the peacemakers, because they will be called sons of God. We are sons of God. And, you know, Peter said something, confrontation. I believe we should never be afraid of confrontation, but we should always approach confrontation with boldness and authority. You know, David spoke clearly to Goliath, right? And he said, he was not afraid of this big giant. And many times we go to work and, when I first started working for this group I'm working with, I thought, wow, this is a big giant I'm facing here. This is something massive. But in that, I realized that the boss has expected something from me. And you have to take away the fear that of Am I going to be successful? Am I going to make the grade? When you get put with a workforce in front of you, and there's these responsibilities of the equipment they've got to use, are they going to get the job right on time? And there's so many things that you can be fearful about, but knowing that I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me, and going forward. Yeah, I just wanted to say that there's many, many giants out there, but we have the power to overcome.
Yeah.
And I'd just like to say that.
Sure. Thank you, Ken. Yes, you've said a very important thing there. David spoke to Goliath very clearly. He explained to him,
Amen.
You have done something wrong, and therefore I will have to confront you until you cannot do it anymore. You know, it was a very clear, it is, you know, now that I think back about it, it is crystal clear. Goliath possibly didn't hear it. He didn't get it, but it was very clear. You know, and of course it came very clear to him very short after that, but confrontation is something. And, you know, I'm sometimes amazed, Ken, when we're together and you get that call. No, the Frigis and Bassano went down. And I think to myself, ish, this is a crisis. Ken is going to have to jump in his car and go and sort it out. There is millions of rands worth of chicken and meat and whatever in these fridges. Why is he not having a mental meltdown? And Ken has just gone and he phones Ryko and says, listen, you guys, go and look there. I think the problem is there. Go and speak to that guy. He's going to help you. He was with me last time when there's the reset button on the overload or whatever. I can't remember now. Just go and have a look there. If that is not, you know, and it's about staying calm and eating the elephant little bit by little bit. And I think that's what gets the guys under sometimes. You see this massive, this mountain. And I mean, all of us has got the mountain, right? How do you deal with this?
Yeah.
You tie in every morning, little bit by little bit, and you sort the mountain out. You cannot do the whole mountain. Just do the little bit every day. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. I just want to say that it was, you know, in the beginning, it was never, ever like an ordinary thing that you could just approach. And slowly, slowly, you find that you're not fearful of your chaps now, of what machine are they going to break next, or have they stolen some of your equipment, or it's just about getting the job done and approaching it in a way that the fear has to be removed from yourself being in authority over them, just to say, guys, today's going to be a good day. We're going to get through this thing. We need to just look at it in the right way and just remove the element of self and just apply to get the job done. And that fear suddenly just, yeah, it just seems to have walked, disappear eventually. The longer you get into it, the more you depend on what you've been given, the better it just works out for you. Yeah.
Yeah, it is the persistence. We spoke about persistence a couple of weeks ago. You know, you learn to do big jobs come to men that has outgrown the little ones.
Mm.
Right? You have started with small jobs and you've learned how to cope with small jobs. And then automatically, the bigger jobs come to you and you learn how to cope with a bigger job. Automatically, bigger jobs come to you. You learn to handle those. Automatically, you open the story with David. His first battle, his first confrontation was not Goliath. His first confrontation was the kitten that made trouble. Then eventually it was the mountain lions, and so he elevated to the point of where he dealt with Goliath. It was not his first confrontation. So absolutely, Ken. I love what you're saying there. Just relax. You know, don't be fearful. Just relax. If you're a guy that's starting out in your job, just relax. You will learn how to do bigger and better and bigger and better. It will happen automatically. Just have the faith. Yeah. Amen. Just keep solid. Yeah. Ken wasn't born with a kin. You weren't born with the ability that you have now. That ability was taught and guided. You know, get the right mentors. And of course, you know, your operation manual. Your operation manual is right there. So just go back to your operation manual. It's got everything. It's got everything. And it's got everything. Anthony, you had your hand up. Is Anthony still with us?
Good morning.
Morning, Anthony.
I was just, you know, I was thinking while you guys talking, I was thinking, people who have not found their identities in their father tend to seek identity from the outside because they're not established in their identity from the inside. That's what I hear. Also, Freek talking about that boy that's sitting there being afraid. I know that. That feeling of not being able to move past that. And so the beginning of the week, I asked the Lord a while back, I wanted a life-changing experience. And so the Lord's been grinding with me for 2 years on unforgiveness and forgiveness towards myself and other people. So forgiveness is something that he started with me 18 years back up until now. And it's the main pebble in the fish tank. And he's been cleaning the fish tank. And now we're like at the last gunk there at the bottom. And there's this pebble of unforgiveness. So just want to, can I share this with you. Stages in the slide of unforgiveness. The results in the life of the person who won't forgive themselves. Stage one, unforgiveness towards self. You don't feel like you can ever forgive yourself for what you did, whether intentionally or accidentally, due to the amount of pain or damaging consequences that cannot be undone. You have numerous flashbacks of what you have done. You can't forgive yourself for what you did to others and to yourself. Stage two is anger towards yourself. As time progresses, you feel trapped and try to stuff and suppress your feelings and unrelated anger and may overreact with your temper and lash out. Or you may continue to suppress your memories and suffer from increasing and stubborn depression. Bitterness towards yourself is stage three. You change during this stage in unforgiveness slide and become hard, untrusting, rebellious, sullen, withdrawn. Often the internal distress becomes so strong that you start to consider sinful acts in inappropriate relationships to give you comfort. It is a kind of a counterfeit affection, which so many people do have. Stage four, you slander against yourself. You talk down about yourself with negative self-talk and then hear yourself criticizing yourself to others. I'm not worth anything. I'm stupid. I'm damaged goods. I'm always going to be a failure. You know the terrible things you have done. Stage five is resentment towards yourself. You keep track of all the stupid little things you say and hurtful things that you do, even innocently. Things that you never used to bother you now becomes additional reasons for your failures. You link previous mistakes and or sins to a whole series of reasons that justifies your worthlessness and negative conditions. Addictions are rampant in this stage, as pornography, alcoholism, drug abuse, physical and sexual abuse, adultery, prescription drugs for anxiety, anything to release the tension that gnaws at you. Stage six is hatred towards yourself. Your life continues to prove that there's nothing worthy about you. You feel inferior, bad, unlovable, incompetent. You can't stand to be by yourself, and yet you don't feel worthy to be with anything else or anybody else. You become increasingly fearful. After all, if they knew what you've done, who would want to be with you? Self-hatred is a terrible condition that generates nothing but harm and pain. You are tempted to practice self-destructive behavior such as alcohol and drug abuse, promiscuity, Who would ever want me to, who would ever want me, accept me for sex? A lot of women do that. They just think that they're not good enough. Just give themselves away. If I give him sex, maybe he'll accept me then. Often you withdraw and feel hopeless and powerless to make changes. And the last stage is vengeance towards yourself. Your inner desire to make yourself pay for what you've done builds to the point that you act. You can't cope with success because you constantly feel that you need to pay for the terrible things that you did. You practice self-sabotage, getting tired from your job, spending yourself into terrible debt, breaking long-standing relationships. You might hide very destructive behaviors such as eating disorders or cutting yourself, or face suicidal thoughts and even may attempt to suicide for what you've done. And the reason why I'm reading all this is because this is exactly a picture that was acting. This is me. For 51 years, I read this, and this is exactly what I did. Exactly.
Yeah. And Anthony, can I quickly
I said, Lord, I'm going to forgive myself. And I went and I looked at myself. And for the first time, I looked at myself in 51 years. And I started crying, and I extended compassion to the person that I saw there. And then when I prayed and I asked the Lord to forgive me for my sins, I don't have that accusatory voice in my head because I've forgiven myself. And I think that's the root of everything. I woke up yesterday morning loving myself in a different way. I don't know what's going to lie ahead of me. I don't know. But I know that I'm not blaming myself for the past. And all these damn things are going to fall away. Destructive behaviors, alcohol, drug abuse, promiscuity, running away, rebellion, can't work, don't believe, waste of money. All the root of it is an unforgiveness.
And Anthony, can I quickly ask you? So, what you're saying is, if I have to put it in a simple form, and forgive me if I make a simple form of it, is you built yourself a mountain. You were not trying to break down the mountain. You were building a mountain that you yourself couldn't see that you can get over, and by going through the process, you started breaking that mountain down again, or you're now starting the process of breaking that mountain down again.
I listened to the Lord. The Lord put forgiveness in front of me, and it's not easy. When the Lord puts something in front of you, it's not easy, but He's with you through it. And I grinded through 2 years through forgiveness, and then I don't want to do it, and I put it away. Then the Lord will touch my circumstances like a father. With as your kind never laced in it, then touches his circumstances. Ek kom hier en hy touch my circumstances. And then, I'm doing it again. And I got to self-forgiveness, which is the last two chapters. And I forgave myself. So thank you, Jesus, for that. Yeah? Thank you for that. I cried. I can show compassion toward myself. I don't hate myself. All these things that are read here now, how you hate yourself and the vengeance that you have towards yourself. I never. Ek het myself nog nooit iets gegun nie, man. I've never believed in myself. Awesome, I was like that boy sitting there, not wanting to take the chance to just to pronounce the next song. You know why? Because ek het dit nie vir myself gegun nie. I hated myself. I had vengeance towards myself. And I tormented myself. I punished myself. I was my own worst enemy. I punished myself for the unforgiveness that I carried towards myself.
I'm looking forward to walking this journey with you, Anthony, in the future and hearing how this is going, because this is the beautiful part of the journey where you walk with God and let Him guide you through all of this. And so I can see Atman is smiling there because he knows where this is going to take you in the future. Atman, I want to please hear your comment. I just want to give Mbeno a chance. He had his hand up. Mbeno, please.
Thank you, Menzo. I want to get back to the subject a little bit, and that's the fear of entering into a new environment, a new job. In my experience, this fear is basically a fear of acceptance. In other words, everybody is unique. Everybody has got certain skills, a certain character, certain way of doing things. And when I enter into a new job, what I found was is that the training and the guidance that this person is getting is trying to change this character, this way of doing things, more than accepting that this is a person. You see, everybody speaks in a certain way. Everybody is unique in the way they dress. And this is, a lot of times, it is suppressed rather than encouraged. I like the way which you said that you are allowed to make mistakes and you're allowed to differ. So training and guidance in a new job should be exploiting the skills of this new person rather than suppressing the fear that he's got of acceptance. And I don't think there's enough emphasis on accepting this as a unique and a new person that's going to do things in a different way or in a way that he wants it to do. Yes, he's going to make mistakes, but I don't want us to change his character. I don't want us to change his mindset. I don't want us to change the way he's doing things. Rather, encourage him to learn the new skills and to accept that the way that he's doing might be a lesson to his colleagues, that this person is bringing a new way of working, a new set of skills. I just wanted to share this with us. I do a lot of training and I find that the fear of acceptance is the first stumbling block that we have to get over. Thank you, Menzo.
No.
Sure, Menzo, that was powerful. I agree. I cannot agree with you more. You know, we are moving into a world where the mundane jobs are going to be done with robotics. And the future is for those guys that can accept that and thrive in that environment. So being agile, being inventive, being flexible. Peter, you've got, you said to me years ago, you said to me, true intelligence is the ability to unlearn and relearn new things. You know, if you are not in that position that you can unlearn what you've learned and relearn new things, this world is going to become a tough place for you.
No.
And what Umbeno is saying that I agree with, the new energy that a person can bring, don't underestimate the new energy that a youngster can bring into a situation. You know, no. Just challenging you. I'm living that life at the moment. And Atman, I want to hear your voice, because I know you're going to talk about fatherhood, but you know, I'm living, and I'm sure Freek is living that at the moment as well. If you've got a son in your house that is under 22, under 25, those guys want to challenge you all of the time. There is no, it's relentless. Yeah, it is my challenge. But I cannot tell you how many times, even this week, where I sat the whole Saturday designing and doing, my son is doing his things. I'm at work, I'm designing, and then Tuesday morning he'll come and sit there and say, why did you do that? Yeah, then I want to blow flames out of my ears and say, I've sat here for 4 hours designing it like that, what is your problem? Then he'll say, no, just explain to me. And I say, this door cannot work like this the way you wanted to change it, because we need to make it waterproof. Yeah, but can we not do it this way? Then I'd say, okay. It doesn't help me. I've learned now. It doesn't help that I say, no, I have to show you. Then I go to the drawing and I animate it. And I say, You see how, no, he sees, but can't we do it that way? So, okay, there's no time for this argument. Let me show you. And I do redo the drawing and I show him. This is, and I would say 70% of the time, we ultimately get to a better solution just because he challenges us, me, and he brings that energy. You know, so it's a lot of extra work. Good. But we, the achievement, what the goal that we achieve is worth the while. You know, so, and if you are not flexible enough to say, okay, let me see your point of view, even if it is wrong, let me see your point of view. And the person that you are training has got the ability to re-challenge you and re-challenge you without stepping on your toes too much that you lose your cool, then you both are going to a better place. You know, and so you don't want to kill the character, you don't want to kill the spirit. You want to create an atmosphere where that person can thrive in. You know, and I think that is what Umbeno is saying, is don't program a robot. Get a coworker. Get a person that will challenge you, work with you, and help you also grow. Yeah, you know, we're going back to the peacemaker again. It's an active confrontation in a good way. Mm. Yeah. Atman, please go for it.
Good morning, everyone. Yo, it is just getting broader and broader, this discussion. I love what Umbeno said there about not trying to mold him and changing his mindset and stuff. For me, it is the same. When getting into a new environment, I want to be Atman. I will learn that skills. I will learn all those things. But it's not going to that I want to do it my way. But I want to enjoy it and I want to be myself. Very important thing that Umbeno said there. What Anthony said about unforgiveness, it is a very real thing, especially in the workplace today. And I think that we as peacemakers and also peacekeepers have a great responsibility, especially to the new recruits. Because they that are coming in are also looking up to us for answers, number one. But if they are seeing that, hey, these people, they are so rude with each other, they don't respect the management, they don't do that, this is the things they will learn from us. So that's why we also, who are already experienced and a long time in the business, we have a greater responsibility to the younger ones that is coming in. And that's where I've learned a lot from Frieka in the beginning of our friendship and started doing things together. Frieka is not someone that will always come and sit with you talking things over and what. But what he is doing, especially for me and my wife at that time, coming and visit him and his wife at their house, I could just have seen how this man operates in his house. Then I can see, what is this man doing when his wife speaking to him and bringing those insights. So from that, I've learned, I must do it a different way. Not that he came to me and say, Atman, you must do this and this and this and this and this is the way and that is the way. No, I've learned step by step by saying, yes, this is God's way. not the way people in the world would love it to do. And if we're going back to the discussion also about confrontation, it is not always easy to confront all the bad stuff in the workplace. But I've learned from experience that you cannot always sit back and think, hey, everything will come right, everything will go this way. No, it will never happen. You need to confront what is wrong. And always, I was always praying in my workplace. I was praying, Lord, I don't want to win this case so that I can get the increase or I can get all the benefits. No, I want your righteousness to proclaim in this workplace, not for my benefit only, but that it can be continuously practiced in this place, even the day when I am not here anymore. So for the workplace, I have two scriptures just to share. The first one is Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7, that's saying, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And then the second one, it is a nice psalm for someone to read. Psalm 29, verse 11, the last verse saying, "The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." And that is what's going to happen in the workplace. It's only the Lord will really, if you pray that prayer, that the Lord really bless us with peace. There's so much confrontation today in the workplace because of, don't want to sound negative about unions, but when the unions came in, they came between the management and the workers. In some cases, it was positive, but I can tell you today, in the most cases, it is negative because it brought a gap now, because now you don't have that intimate talk to your boss anymore because you are running to your union. So now the boss need to protect him or her. He is getting labor consultants. So now it's doing a lot of damage on the ground. In the past, you could have go to your boss and say, "Listen, this is my problem. I'm struggling with my taxi fare. It's getting too high. What about giving me increase?" No, you cannot go even talking to him like this to today. He will say, "Hey, go to your union." And if you are asking, he is asking you something, okay, you don't want to agree, he bringing in his labor consultants, get you into a meeting, and just put it down there. So dialogue is a very important thing. We need to go back in those old days of dialogue, because your boss will understand you better if you tell him, "Maybe can I come and see you after work? Because I need something to discuss with you." Now you explain to him, "This is my situation. I cannot get through with my money because of the taxes is up now. I'm struggling. I need to borrow money. But this is the situation." Now he can maybe say, "Okay, I will talk to management in the meeting." And maybe on Monday he call you in and say, "Hey, we decided we will give you something." But when it goes through all these things, the union, it going through this thing, you know, it's going to be a whole dispute and you will never get there. You will stuck for 5-10 years. I'm talking now out of experience, the gap that came between management and the workers, that even the supervisor, he don't even talk to you anymore. He's just writing your instructions down because of fighting about all this stuff. So dialogue is very important. We need to get back to it, open talk, before you even run to union or whatever you're always trying. So to be a peacemaker, for me, yo, I would rather not going into as a mediator. I don't want to even go into the labor issues. I'd rather stay with family issues because it is very... But we as peacemakers, as children of God, we have a great responsibility to definitely to coach and teach the young ones coming into the business now. Thank you, Menzo, everyone.
Thank you, Atman. You nailed it. You nailed it. Peter, you had your hand up?
Yeah, you know, your Matthew scripture was that the peacemakers shall be called sons of God. And I'm always reminded of the other scripture that says creation is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. That is still something that's in the future, Ken. I'm not quite sure what that means. But it means that you and I as believers are in training for that day. Last point, we do not want to raise followers. We want to raise leaders.
Yes. Yes.
And as we focus on that and we build towards Jesus and not towards ourselves. And then the last point I want to say to Anthony, to everybody, and I speak as a pastor now, this whole self-forgiveness, self-emergence thing, the key to getting over that is baptism. Full baptism in water, gedompel. Not besprinkel, gedompel. What baptism does is it cleans your conscience. It cleans your conscience. And so that's the next step of what God has provided for guys like Anthony who, and like myself, who have struggled with self-forgiveness and so forth. Full-on baptism cleanses your conscience. Thanks. My story is out.
Isn't it so awesome that we can sit around the table, tackle so many subjects out of one verse, and share with each other. I mean, it takes me days after I was sitting around the transformation table to process all the information that came in so quickly, you know, and I really appreciate it. Thank you very much, guys. It is awesome that we can have this discussion and Dimitri put it down. So we discuss God's business, because I believe in my heart that everything that this was discussed this morning, everything that's discussed anytime is God's business.
Yeah. Amen.
Even if it's in under confrontation. So, what a blessing. Thank you. And Frik, I don't know if the people are listening, but it's not important. The fact is that somebody that has to hear this, and maybe even around this table today, somebody heard that they needed to go to the next step. Yeah. Because the game is never over. There's not one of us that can sit here and you know, we have some guys that is properly gray here. And I'm sure not one of you guys will say, I have learned everything. I know everything. You cannot teach me anything. Yeah. I don't think there's one of us that can say that. And that's such a privilege. You know, you learn till the day you leave this earth and then you start learning. I believe that's what's going to, I think the amount of knowledge and the amount of learning you're going to do that first day in heaven is going to be something that God will have to protect your brain, because it's going to explode. You know, so the thing gets me up every morning is what I'm going to learn today. What is going to this day bring? And Atman is absolutely correct. Never, don't expect a day that you're not going to have challenges. As a matter of fact, I think it will be a bad day if you don't have a challenge. You know, I say to my guys when they start working there, if you have not learned something today, if you go home today, you take your empty lunch then and you leave the gate and you've not learned something today, turn around, come back, come see me so I can teach you something. Because otherwise you wasted your day. Don't come for the money, come for the learning. Especially if you're a young person, come for the learning. Frik, your youth guys there, they are bright-eyed and bushy-tailed because they're coming for the learning. Yeah. And we must be very careful, if I can sum it up, we must be very careful, and I'm talking to myself here, my attitude, my body language, and the words that passes over my tongue.
Amen.
I need to be responsible for that. And I'm speaking very sternly to myself here. You know, one of the guys in the factory revealed it to me the other day. He says, boss, we figured out if we want to ask you something, we must come and ask you on a Thursday morning. I said, why a Thursday morning? He says, you walk in the factory with a different attitude. You are open. You know, it's nuts. You know, it's nuts. And I thought to myself, this guy was analyzing me. These guys are checking me out. But and that's what the thing is. These guys have got their eyes on you. They can see that you have the answers and they want it. But it comes with a massive responsibility. And Umbeno taught us something very important today. Don't reprogram. Don't change. Enhance.
Yeah.
Enhance. Oh. Yeah. Be the peacemaker. Enhance. Yeah. Sure.
I'm reminded of who was it that carved the statue of David? Michelangelo.
Michelangelo.
And and he tells the story of they interviewed him. How did you get this? And he said, well, I had this big block of marble and I saw David inside. And all I had to do was chip away the parts that didn't belong.
Yes. Yes.
And that's our job.
Yeah. Chip away the damage. Chip away the parts that don't belong
and release the beauty inside.
Yes. Great commission.
Powerful.
Okay, who's going to finish? Who's going to close off with prayer fast? Put your hand up, please. Don't be shy.
Oh.
Ken, you've got the biggest smile. You win. Ken, before you do that, just step away from the camera and show the guys the view behind you, please.
Okay. All right.
Hey, how's that for a view out of your... Just there. Yo, look at that. Is that Mount Curry?
Yeah, that's Mount Curry, yeah.
Yeah. Looks like it's a bit of cold.
Yeah.
A little bit cold there by you, Ken.
Yeah, it's chilly. I've got my jacket on. It's cold.
Okay. Thank you, Ken. Thank you.
Thanks very much. I'd just like to just say one. I read a proverb. Proverbs 17, verse 14. It says, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out.
Mm.
I thought that was very, very, very important for us, Peter. And, you know, the thing is, we've got to be so careful of the words and what we do and the approach, you know, the approach of everything is very important. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, this morning has been absolutely a beautiful time with you, Lord. We just want to thank you for every word that's been spoken. Father, for all those that have heard what we've spoken about this morning, Lord, we pray that light will come to those that are fearful in their faces, that they will have a new understanding and a new position of going to work this morning or even everything they have to tackle, that they will be able to do it with a new ability, a new way of looking at things. Lord, we just ask that you just open doors for those that have fear. And that you will just bless them with a new vision and a new way of looking at things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Maybe the discussion for next week is coming in an opposite spirit. When confrontation is on your doorstep, it's in your face. Do you confront it with might and anger? Or do you come in the opposite spirit? Maybe let's think about it. Let's pray about it. Maybe that would be a good discussion for next week. You know, bring that opposite spirit because the confrontation and Atman pinned it down. You know, confrontation often escalates into stupidity. That is my famous move. Confrontation turns into stupidity. Then I lose my cool and I become a idiot. You know. learning the ability to come in the opposite spirit, you know, having the conversation wisely, you know,
so to the spirit and not to the flesh.
Exactly. Yeah.
A gentle answer turns away wrath, says the word.
Because Atman is correct. Yeah. I mean, Peter, you come out of the law many years ago. my personal feeling is the worst thing you can do is get a lawyer involved. If I've got a confrontation, I'm going to, at 10 o'clock, I've got a meeting that I'm going to have to go and deal with some confrontation. And as soon as you get a lawyer involved, there's trouble. You know, the only guy that's going to make money out of it is going to be the lawyer. You're going to lose.
It's like the unions.
Like the unions.
Like the unions.
Yeah, exactly. The simplest way is a good conversation in a
personal touch
spirit.
Personal touch. Always.
Well, maybe let's think about it a little bit. That could be a good discussion for next week or whenever.
Thank you for listening to the Transformation Table, where we talk about God's business.